what you're looking for inside that record store. Across the whole world they've gone, searching for shelves of gold to find that perfect score. You're listening to the Record Store Recon. You're listening to the Record Store Recon.
Okay, welcome back for another edition of the Goldmine Podcast. And of course, it's the Record Store Recon edition where Dr. Disc talks to us. But Doctor, we have a guest with you. You brought in a guest. Can you please introduce him?
Yeah, I figured people were getting tired of just hearing your voice and my voice. I thought I would bring in maybe he's the Batman to the Robin, or I don't know if he's the Robin to the Batman, but half of the Punk Till I Die podcast, who we've done some cross work with before, Liverpool Neil. And the store is that we're going to talk about today is kind of close to his heart, as he helped get them set up and has a long time relationship with the owners, and both the husband and the wife ownership.
Yeah. Neil, how do you like being compared to Batman?
I think Tom would be the Batman. I think I'd be more the Robin, but I'd say a better thing is he's the good cop and I'm the bad cop. Because I'm the one that's always ripping on bands. So, right, Alan?
That is true.
Yeah.
Neil's got an opinion on most bands.
Yes. Well, you know, as you do when you get older, right?
Well, now we have a giveaway, but Neil, you haven't heard them. They're called Freight Train Rabbit Killers. Poor little rabbits getting killed. By a freight train, perhaps. I guess. But we'll talk about that more, but it's a giveaway of vinyl. So let's talk about the record store at hand. How did you come upon them at, and you know, how did you, what'd you, why'd you think they need to be you know, on the Record Store Recon podcast?
Well, so they started out, and Neil, jump in and correct me on any of the timing of this if I get it wrong, but they started out about a year and a half to maybe even 2 years ago as just an online store. And that's all they were doing. And Mike and Jerry, so Mike is the, well, Mike and Jerry are the owners. Right. But Neil knew Mike from several other jobs that he had. The guy's got his hands in everything. And so maybe, Neil, I'll let you talk a little bit about that and how you met them.
Yeah, he really does. Mike and Jerry, husband and wife, they're the kind of entrepreneurs I guess everybody would want to be, because it seems like they don't let anything scare them off. And so I first met Mike because he has a record label called Sexy Baby. And they put out vinyl and they put out a lot of cassette releases and things like that in the punk community. And so we had him on the Punk Till I Die podcast. So we interviewed him. That's when I first met him. That was a couple of years ago. And then I found out that he's a barber in Chicago. So I needed a new barber. So I started going to him to get my haircut. And so not only does he have the record label, and he had the Loud Pizza record store online, and he was a barber. His wife, Jerry, also has a screen printing company, On Point Press. So Punk Till I Die, we started getting our t-shirts and stuff made there as well. So they do so many things. They are so busy all the time. And then I'd say about a year ago, they decided they were gonna look for a brick and mortar store in the suburbs of Chicago. Well, actually, they looked all around Chicago, I believe. They looked at numerous locations. But I think they started looking like right after COVID, perhaps, because I know some places were still a problem. But they looked in Chicago, they looked in Libertyville, they looked all around the place. But then he eventually found the perfect location and in Highland Park. And they've been open now, about 6 months, maybe, I'd say, something like that.
Yep.
So that's my introduction to Mike and Jerry.
How's what is Highland Park like for those who don't know?
It's a very affluent northern suburb of Chicago. So Unfortunately, it's probably most famous because I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, there was a mass shooting at a July 4th celebration in Highland Park. So that was very unfortunate. But yeah, Highland Park is a well-to-do rich northern suburb of Chicago. So lots of high-end boutique-y type stores and things like that. But there was no record stores anywhere close. So it was actually, it's a perfect location for them, I think.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that was, I go think ahead, Alan. Mike, well, I was just going to say, Mike found a perfect location because not only is it in a community where there wasn't a record store, and as Neil said, I think the nearest record store is a good half hour drive in any direction, and that's without any traffic. But it's in a great location, right in almost in the heart of the downtown area. Yep. Fairly easy parking. I mean, if you get there on a good day, you've got parking right in front of the store. I think if you tell him you're a friend of Neil, he'll get you even a better parking space. But
yeah, maybe no worse.
And I will tell you, and I mentioned this in the printed review, it has got to be one of the cleanest and brightest stores I've ever visited. Not, I thought the store that we visited in Atlanta a few months ago was clean. This thing is immaculate.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. When I first went in there, because I went in a couple days before opening to help them with some of the stuff, pricing, figuring, because they have collectibles and stuff too. So I was helping to price some of the collectibles and that. And yeah, it is incredibly bright, incredibly clean. Obviously, because it's a brand new store, right? You would expect it to be clean, but still, it's very, very bright. It's not, and they said they did that on purpose. They didn't want it to be like one of those old dingy record stores that you go to where there's just like piles of vinyl on the floor and like a crabby guy behind the counter. They did not want it to be that. And they've done a wonderful job, right? Right, Alan? I mean, it's bright and inviting, and it's fantastic inside.
Talk about the Funkos. Is it mostly like Loud Pizza? The store doesn't center on punk, right? I mean, it's all different types of music, right?
Yeah, it's all different types of music. I mean, Mike's got a long punk hardcore kind of background in the Chicago scene, but yeah, he's got all kinds of music in there. And in fact, I helped him a little bit before they opened up with how he was going to categorize everything, because that's one of those interesting things, right? Say the Clash, do they go in the punk section or do they go in the rock section? You know, and the different record stores will have different thoughts on that. So we helped a lot of, you know, I helped with some of that. And but no, he has all kinds of music in there, from, you know, from some hip hop to local stuff to post punk, metal. I mean, all kinds of stuff, really.
Yeah, because sometimes you're right, Clash will fall in just in the general rock section.
Right.
But that's for metal bands too. Sometimes you'll find Def Leppard. I've seen Metallica in the rock section. And they save like the underground for the metal section, the underground records more. I guess it just depends on, you know, the record store. But the Funko thing, is that all punk? Like, are they all collectibles that are punk, or?
No, not at all. Not at all. He's got collectibles from TV, movies, you know, all kinds of musical genres, whatever Funko makes, really. It's not just Funko. He has all kinds of other stuff too.
Yeah, because there's, do you remember the Throbbleheads? There was a lot of hardcore punk, they're bobbleheads, but they're called Throbbleheads.
Right, he has a couple of those, I think. He has some jigsaw puzzles, you know. Wow. You know,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep. some like horror-themed stuff, you know, because he's into some of that. So there are all kinds of cool collectibles in there.
What I love is
a video game in there, I think.
What I love is the pizza theme. Now, you showed me this pizza box that came with their t-shirt, Loud Pizza. Maybe you can explain how they incorporate this pizza theme into the store.
Yeah, when you walk into the store, you'll notice like a restaurant up behind the counter, they've got kind of a display board with the lettering that kind of says, you know, all the different generic things that they have for sale: shirts, mugs, Funko Pops, all these things, and kind of generic pricing. And their t-shirts, the store t-shirts, if you buy one, it comes in a cool pizza delivery box, and it's got it right on the delivered hot to your door. And then when you open it up, on the inside, Neil, I don't know if you ever saw that, but it says "Why for a pizza delivery guy."
I've never seen that. No.
Yeah, pretty. And then, voila, you've got their store t-shirt, you know, sealed in a bag. And I think that's one of the things that this store does probably better than any store I visited. And I'm sure it's because of Jerry's, you know, side business of doing promotional materials.
Right.
And screen printing and all that stuff. The stuff that this store has is absolutely amazing for store swag.
Wow.
Hoodies, hats, shirts. And it all comes in the handy delivery pizza box.
I was going to say, yeah, how did the name Loud Pizza come to Mike and Jerry? Like this whole theme with pizza, how did that come out?
Yeah. And even the, when you buy a record from them, you take it home in kind of a pizza delivery cool bag. Fresh, always loud.
And another thing they do as well, which is really nice, every album you buy from them, it comes in a poly sleeve, and they give you stickers and stuff with it too. So yeah, I mean, I personally can't stand if I go to a record store to buy a used record for $50 or $75 or something, and they don't give it to you in a poly sleeve. That drives me crazy, right? So yeah, they do that with all our records, which I think is really nice. And like I say, they give you, again, with the swag, every album you buy, they'll give you some store stickers and things like that. So they do a really good job of promoting themselves. And also, quite apart from the brick and mortar store, their online presence, because they still have their online presence, they still do mail order, and it is one of the cleanest websites I have ever gone to for ordering stuff. It is beautifully laid out. I think Jerry does all that too. So
clean and well lit and clean website.
The only thing that drives me, well, there's two things that drive me nuts about them, and one of them I think they're going to change, and the other one I hope they will change. So the first thing that drives me nuts is, because they just opened, and because I'd imagine Mike and Jerry have all these side hustles, this store is not open 7 days a week. When Neil and I first went up there, they were only open 3 days a week. They are now open 4 days. So they're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But me, I like to beat the crowds, and I like to get out there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday when you know everybody else is working. The other thing, and this I found was really weird, and I think this is the first store I've ever visited that does this. They don't take cash. They are strictly credit card only. And I guess it makes sense if you don't have to deal with money, you have less issues with money disappearing when you start to hire people, less mistakes that can be made with a cash register. But for those old curmudgeon people like Bill and myself, who still walk around with a fat stack of cash, you know, I like to use cash when I'm buying records. It makes it easier for me to hide my purchases.
I was going to say, that's probably why, right? Hide from the wife.
Do you carry coins too, as well, or? That would be hot if you carried around a bag of coins and just threw it on there. Buy a record here, a penny. Oh God!
And I will also.
I've seen the opposite where it's cash only.
Yeah, and I have been to some stores that are like that where it's only cash. And maybe this is just the newer generation. They prefer to. I mean, I know, like my son, he doesn't carry cash anywhere because he just uses a credit card for everything. So maybe this is the future.
Or next will be chips only. You know, the chip that's inside your.
Let's not go down that road. The other thing that I will mention, Pat, and I know Neil took advantage of this because he and I happened to go to the store the very first day, or I think the second day they were open to the public. They have a really good used selection. Now, it's not a lot. They're growing the used area. But the used that they have, there's some quality used stuff, some stuff that I hadn't seen in a long, long time. And their prices are really good. And Neil, I don't know if you want to touch on any of that.
I do, actually, because I believe the last time I spoke to Mike about this, he was actually thinking of ditching the used section. Because it was taking it. Well, see, and here's why. because he had me helping him labeling some of the used stuff for a while, and so he could put them in inventory in his database. And it was taking him such a long time because he was doing a great job. He was looking at the state of the record, and he wasn't just doing that very good plus thing. He was going into detail about the quality of the record, about which kind of press it was, you know, color, if it was a color variant or something. So it was taking him, you know, half an hour per album to get it into his database. So I think it was just taking too much time. So he was really, last time I talked to him, he was ambivalent about the doing the used section anymore. Because it was, like I say, it was taking him just too much time. So
someone who comes from I know sellers that only deal in used, and if they get into like record stores owning one, they're just so used to seeing an album, being able to identify it, used to buying collections. Because I think you have to do a lot of networking too. You can't just rely on people to come in the store with their used records.
Right.
You got to have this network already kind of in place where people have gone to you or they recommend you to buy. A lot of these, I've seen a lot of these used sellers in record shows, and then they finally open like a record store and they don't have any new vinyl. They have all used, but it's a different world than just having new records. But I could see how it could be like going down a rabbit hole. I could definitely see that. People bring in crap records, which is like to me it's like the Goodwill records, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And think they have gold, right? I think that's one of the funny things about the name of our magazine, Gold Mine, because people think they discover a record and they think it's gold, right? Oh yeah, I got this Benny Goodman album. You know, that's
the first pressing of the Beatles album, which they don't realize has been the most bootlegged album ever in the history of vinyl. And very, very likely what they have is not a first edition copy of the Beatles album.
Well, and even if it is, it's probably doesn't have an inner sleeve and it's been beat to hell for 30 years, right? So it's they look on Discogs and think it's worth $300. And then in reality, it's probably worth
$1.50. The problem there is they're going by what people are asking, not what it's been sold for. If you go to PopCycle, it'll tell you what these albums have been sold for. Yeah, people think, oh yeah, this album, I've seen it on Discogs for like $300, but it's really worth like, you know, 50. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Depending on the condition too, right?
Yeah.
So, I think why he would be frustrated, you know, especially if you don't have the bandwidth.
Right. Because it's just him and his wife doing it. So you're right. Yeah, he's working all hours God sends, just, you know, trying to get his, because he had a pretty big use selection that he's been acquiring through the years. Yeah. And he was trying to get all that on there, and it was just taking so much time, you know. Great. So
well, get over to his store. So, get over to his store quickly, because the used stuff you got is good and it's well priced.
Well,
we're actually thinking of doing I was actually thinking of telling him we were going to have a little punctual eye die section of things that I had approved, you know, so cool. We could have our own little section in the side, you know, so
that works. That I always find that fun. Even when staff picks out records.
Right.
I always find that pretty cool. And it works, I think, because sometimes you you ever have those days you walk into a record store and you're like, you know, God, I don't know what I want. I've had those. Like when I drive there, I kind of know what I want. And then when you get there, your mind just blank.
Yep. Yeah. And then you end up buying a copy of something you already have, right?
I've had that. That's tough.
Yep.
I've had that. So another thing you mentioned was that you wish the store was a little bigger.
Bigger allows for just more product, and I think Mike and Jerry have done a phenomenal job of utilizing the space they have the best they can, but you can tell that they're tight in the store with just the the display cases that they've got, and they did a great job. The display cases are top of the line. You can stand there and thumb through everything and see everything very easy. He's done a great job of labeling everything, and like Neil mentioned, he doesn't just have a rock section and then you go through rock and you find punk and metal. He's got a metal section, he's got a hip-hop section, he's got a punk section, he's got a classic rock section, he's got alternative, he's got everything. He really does, and he has a very good new collection. Mm-hmm. But I think he is limited. They're just limited in space right now.
And when I was in there a couple of weeks ago, they've also put in a little section selling leather jackets and such in the back. So I don't know if you saw that, Alan, when you were there, but yeah, yep. He has leather jackets from a local Chicago company actually called Straight to Hell, who make really, really nice leather goods and t-shirts and things. And so he has some leather jackets from them in there too. So, and they also sell some turntables, they have some Audio Technica stuff in there. And, so for people just getting into the vinyl game, for example, they might want a turntable. So, hey, go to the record store and there's your turntable as well as your Beatles album or your Fleetwood.
Hey man,
record,
I know veteran record collectors, you guys probably know them too. They just want to get a like a crappy turntable, like sometimes one that they could take, a portable one they could take on a picnic or put outside and spin records, the records that, the ones that aren't in great condition, or 45, mm-hmm. stack them, I've seen people like buy those things.
Yeah, we won't mention that company that begins with the letter C and how you could destroy a $50 record after one spin. So please.
Well, they're expanding. They're expanding.
I know they're expanding, but just buy a high quality, whatever company you buy from, spend your money on a good record.
Oh, player. But I mean, you ever see the dollar section sometimes? These records are already messed up, right? So it could be fun, right? In the 45 section, I've seen record collectors buy a ton of those, and it will sound like crap, but if you have a party or something, you're drinking, it's just fun, especially at 45s where you could stack them, so yeah, there's as there's all sides of record collecting. So but I'd love this marketing, this pizza marketing. I think it's brilliant.
Well, funnily enough, the last time I was in there, I think it was like a Friday afternoon or something like that. I got the afternoon off work and went up there just to hang out. And a guy came in, a salesman came in, trying to sell, I don't know, some kind of automated credit card machine or something. I don't know. And because he came in, he thought it was a pizza store. He thought it was a restaurant. Because they got a big neon sign in the window, Loud Pizza, right? And he didn't see the record thing, so he came in thinking it was a pizza place. Which is,
yeah, the only downside of this is I'm getting really hungry.
Well, I'll tell you, while when I was there the very first day, which was, I think, again, their second or third day they had been open, while Neil and I were just talking to Mike and Jerry, there must have been 15, 20 people who came into the store who were just so excited, mm-hmm. that they're, and some like fathers with their little kids who were like, the fathers were going through and looking at all the great stuff that they used to have, and the kids were looking at the stuff that they wanted to get. But everybody was so excited that there was now a record store in this part of the state. And I think that says a lot. I mean, I don't think they're going to be lacking business. I think they're in the right location.
Yeah, and let me say this too. One thing, because Mike does have, knows what he is getting. He picks out really, like, the selection is really, really good. You're not going to find a lot of crap in there. The selection is really, really good. And for example, if he comes across a copy of a first press teenage bottle rocket that's been out of press for 10 years. Those up. Now he's selling them for what it should go on Discogs, right? But he had it there. He had
first Cramps record with the insert,
yeah.
Which I had not seen. And it took a lot of, I had to give a lot of stuff away to get that.
He had an original Misfits something or other. It was like, I mean, it was $300. It wasn't cheap, but that's exactly what it goes for. But you just never see it in the wild. So he has some stuff in the store that I've never seen before in the wild, you know, and he had it there. So, you know, he picks out good stuff. So I can almost guarantee if you go there, you will find something that you weren't expecting and you'll come away with it.
Yeah, I could see this being like a tourist destination for people who are into records. Definitely. They want to check it out. It seems unique. But let's talk about your giveaway, because I'm kind of excited about it just from the name alone.
So our good friends at Siren Records in McHenry, who we've talked about a couple of times, Bill, who's the owner, called me up and said, hey, we got this band coming in. You really need to check them out. And the band's called Freight Train Rabbit Killer. And like Neil, I had never heard of them at the time. Went to the show. They actually had a band open for them who were also pretty, pretty good. But four-piece band. They do their own costumes, everything. The instruments that they play are unlike many instruments you've ever seen. They're really good, really nice guys, and they autographed their newest record. And so we're going to give it away, and we're going to give it away with a tie-in to our next record store recon, which is going to be on the Record Farm. And so here's the trivia question, and Neil, do not spoil this. Neil knows the answer to this. So if you've been listening to either the Punk Till I Die podcast or our recent podcast of Record Store Recon, we were promoting an event that we did for Joey Ramone's birthday. And we talked about that at the front of this store, the Record Farm, was the record store. And at the back part of the store was a bar. If the first person who will go on Instagram and tell me what the bar name is. So we know the Record Farm, but I want to know the name of the bar. And if you respond to doc_DISC on Instagram, if you're the first one when this podcast goes live, then I will mail you out a autographed Freight Train Rabbit Killer record.
Don't they have costumes like they look like rabbits or something? Is that
one of them does? One of them looks like a kind of a rabbity costume, and the other one kind of wears kind of what might look like the front of a train. It's unique. I'm telling you, it's unique. Wow. But give them a try. Yeah, Neil, you would hate it, but give them a try.
Sounds like,
I guess I won't enter them.
Peter Gabriel's early days in Genesis, like the you have like maybe you can have like one of them fight each other or something. The train against the rabbit.
Well, it just get past the name. The music is good. That's what
you said. It sounded like acoustic punk or like Violent Femmes sort of thing.
Yeah. It reminded me of like if Charlie Carr had a baby with Amigo the Devil. This is what you'd get.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So this would be good. The instructions, I know you moved from Twitter to Instagram. I think you like Instagram a little more. But what I wanted to talk about too before we go is, Neil, maybe you can explain Punk Till You Die a little bit and how listeners can check out the podcast. Because, you know, we've been referencing it, but we haven't said anything about, for those uninitiated, how to go there and listen.
Okay, well, it's I'm from Chicago area. Tom is from Michigan, and we have, it's probably weekly, even though sometimes we do a couple of episodes a week, and we'll talk. It'll be themed around people from bands, and they could be famous bands. We've had a Sex Pistol on before. We've had guy from the Adverts, so we cover classic punk from back in the 70s. We cover newer stuff, you know, stuff from the 90s. I'm older, so I'm more 70s, early 80s, and Tom is a little younger, so he's got the 90s and early 2000s covered. But we cover the whole genre and spectrum, and then more in between, right, Alan? We just Yep. Talk about whatever's going on, whatever shows we've been to, what records we've bought. You know, Alan's been on it before a few times. He's been one of our guests. So yeah, you can Punk Till I Die is Punk Till I Die podcast on Facebook. Look us up on there. But you can find the podcast on all the major podcast places, you know, Spotify podcasts or Apple podcasts. You know, we're at all the regular places that you would find. And that's Punk Till I Die with two L's in Till. So yeah.
Don't accept imitation.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And we've been going since 2019, which amazes me, to be honest, because I didn't think it would last more than a couple of episodes. But here we are still going. 235 episodes in.
Goldmine listeners, check it out. And Alan, aka Dr. Disc, do you have anything else to report?
No, just check out the new issue with our review of Loud Pizza in it. And then, of course, in 2 months from then, we'll get the Record Farm. And that will be a special one because we're also going to talk about the live show we did and the bands that were there for the Joey Ramone birthday celebration. And I will have another giveaway for that issue also.
Does that have something to do with the Ramones?
Well, you know, we gave away the Big Marky signed album, and Neil and Tom were busting my chops that we were going to give away Marky's hairpiece. So I'll have to come up with something special.
Well, when you join the Ramones, or when you would join the Ramones, you have to have the same looking hair. Come on.
Exactly. 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 Yes. Alan was very popular that night with all his giveaways, I have to say. He was very popular.
Yeah, Goldmine gave away a lot of records at this event.
Yep, indeed.
Well, Neil, very thank generous. You for coming on the Goldmine Podcast Record Store.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And we'll be talking soon. And Goldmine listeners, don't forget to go to goldminemag.com and check out our store, too, where you can buy back issues and exclusive vinyl. That's shop.goldminemag.com. And look on the newsstand for the latest print issue. Okay, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And hopefully people will go to Loud Pizza and check it out if they're in the Chicago area. I think you guys described, you promoted it really well, so people are going to be excited. All right, take care now.
Bye now.
Thank you.
Find what you're looking for inside that record store. Across the whole world they've gone, searching for shelves of gold to find that perfect score. You're listening to the Record Store Recon. You're listening to the Record Store Recon.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.